We have the great schus, hopefully this zman, to on Fridays learn a little bit about the machshava of the Chavetz Chaim. What I want to do today in many ways is give a brief introduction. It's not going to really be biographical. We're not going to speak that much about the Chavetz Chaim's life and when he was born and where he lived. But we are going to try to speak about a little bit, and just again, we only have probably five or six shiurim, is to speak about the machshava of the Chavetz Chaim, what the Chavetz Chaim did that made him unique, why the Chavetz Chaim is so important. I think without a shadow of a doubt, if you speak about Gedolim of the 20th century, if you speak about Gedolim that have just the respect and the impact, it's hard to overstate the impact of the Chavetz Chaim. His writings, as far as what he did to the world of Lashon Hara in Sefer Chavetz Chaim, in terms of the Mishnah Brura, and it is like some version of a Posek Acharon on Shulchan Aruch, just the authority the Chavetz Chaim brought, both through his written works and through the model of tzidkus that the Chavetz Chaim represents. The Chavetz Chaim is a person that is undoubtedly enormously, enormously influential. What sometimes happens that as a person becomes so popular, as a person's Torah becomes so well known, Mishnah Brura is just a standard sefer in every base medrash. Hilchos Chavetz, sefer Chavetz Chaim and Hilchos Lashon Hara is such a classic sefer that sometimes what can happen is we can almost have a hard time pinning down what exactly made the Chavetz Chaim unique. What made the Chavetz Chaim the Chavetz Chaim? And to be able, not just as someone who is so classic and so impactful, but wherein lies exactly the unique perspective of the Chavetz Chaim, and what did he do that really distinguishes him from many, many others? To do so, I want to give a little bit of an introduction, and to speak a little bit about just the way the Chavetz Chaim did things, and what is one of the Iker Chidushim of the Chavetz Chaim, certainly as described by a variety of both Gedolei Yisrael and academics who learn and study the works of the Chavetz Chaim. Let's begin as follows. Many of us know that the relationship between the world of Halacha and the world of Musar is a very complex one. And that we know if we've opened up a Maseilas Yesharim and read the Hakdama of the Ramchal, that there was a phenomenon that people who tended to be those who were Baalei Halacha, those that tended to spend a lot more time learning Gemara and Gemara Be'iyan and Halacha, often ended up spending significantly less time learning the world of what you find in the world of Musar. And sometimes there's even an element of almost zilzul about it. These are basics that I already know. Here are things that I'm familiar with. Why do I want to learn about it and study it? What's the point of doing that at all? Let me just focus a little bit more on the world of Halacha. Many of us also know, without a shadow of a doubt, that there is an intuitive distinction that we feel between Sifrei Halacha and Sifrei Musar. If we were given a bunch of Sfarim and asked to categorize them, so it's clear where Mishnah Brura and Shulchan Aruch are going. They're going in the Halacha section. It's clear where Igros Moshe is going. And we have no doubt where Maseilas Yesharim is going. We have no doubt where Shari Tshuva is going or Chassadikim. We know those are going in the Musar Sfarim. And we know there's a difference between them. And sometimes the question, the relationship between them, of those who are either not taking the Ramchal laments the fact that you have people that weren't taking Musar so seriously. In the world of Velazhen, when the Musar movement begins, so part of the debate is the world is where does Musar actually fall out? Rabbi Yisrael Salanter arguing there's a problem here, and that people aren't learning Musar. They're not learning Musar effectively, and that's causing them, for Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, not only to lose out on elements of, broadly speaking, what's called Avodas Hashem, but we'll see in a little bit that there are basic halachas that people aren't keeping the same way because of a lack of Musar. And we know, we'll speak about this hopefully in a future week, but we know that at least one of the versions of when they try to introduce Musar into the world of Velazhen, that in the world of Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Chaim's saying, Musar is for those people, it's a form of medicine. Musar is for those people who are sick. Here we're healthy and therefore don't really require it. And there's a certain sort of push against it. Many of us, I'm sure, also know that in late 19th, early 20th century, we have lots of yeshivas that have machloksim about introducing Musar. There are yeshivas that split over figures in the yeshiva that want to have it be a part of the culture to demand a certain emphasis on Musar, and those that don't want it at all. And the relationship between Musar and Halacha is often very, very complex. Undoubtedly, if we're continuing just to build and to provide a little bit of context, many of us who have just basic familiarity with a variety of Rishonim are aware that Rishonim do different things in terms of like their emphasis on Musar, their emphasis on Halacha. The Rambam, very interestingly, publishes a different work called Mor Nevuchim. Mishnah Torah is primarily Halacha. What the Rambam does, which is interesting, is the Rambam introduces into Mishneh Torah, the Rambam introduces Musari kinds of lines. He does it in two main ways. Number one, at the end of many of the halachos, the Rambam will, at the way end, have like a Musari kind of a halacha at the way end. And the Rambam did something very interesting. He has something called Hilchos Deos. Hilchos Deos are a separate section of Mishneh Torah that deal a lot with concepts that would more ordinarily or more classically be assumed to be associated with the world of Musar. So Hilchos Deos, Rambam speaks about proper Midos. Hilchos Deos, he speaks about, again, a variety of different practices. They're not standard halacha. So he calls it Hilchos Deos and puts it in Mishneh Torah. But the Rambam really separates them. The Rambam really separates them entirely. The Rif, in the back of the Gemara, the Rif summarizes primarily the main halachic sections of what's found in Gemara. And the Rif drops those agadic pieces. And if we're just talking about where the world is at nowadays, in most contexts, many yeshivas nowadays have a separate Musar seder in the afternoon. But when they're learning Gemara, certainly Gemara Be'ian, they're going to glance over a lot of those agadatas. Let's skip that and go to the next sort of halachic sugya. And that's where things, you know, sort of more or less fall. It's in that backdrop the Chafetz Chaim emerges. And the Chafetz Chaim is looking at a world. And here you find the way some describe it. It's a wonderful sefer called Mitzvos Habayis, which describes this, you know, very nicely. Chafetz Chaim comes into a world, and there was a shift. And it's a shift that's important to appreciate for the world of halacha, and it'll give us some insight for the Chafetz Chaim. Not what's the Chafetz Chaim, how is it unique, but let's ask a different question. Chafetz Chaim writes a lot of Sfarim. We'll speak this in a future week. One of those Sfarim is on Hilchos Lashon Hara. What did they do with Hilchos Lashon Hara before the Chafetz Chaim? There's almost no discussion of Hilchos Lashon Hara and Shulchan Aruch. It's not there. Chafetz Chaim wrote a whole book, a whole sefer analyzing from Gemara, Shas, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Rishonim, Poskim, discussions about all the different Pritei Pratim, all the different details of Lashon Hara. What happened before the Chafetz Chaim? Like, what did they do beforehand? If you had a Shaila in Hilchos Lashon Hara, like, what would you do? There's nothing in Shulchan Aruch. A little bit in Magen Avram, a little bit in Machas HaShekel, a little bit in Shulchan Aruch HaRav, a little bit in Rambam, Hilchos, Deos. But what are you doing in Lashon Hara before it comes along? And part of the, again, to appreciate a little bit more, is that whereas Rambam integrates in Rambam, Hilchos, Deos, I could learn Rambam and I could learn Hilchos, Tshuva in a Rambam. I could learn about Bechir Chafshis, I could learn about Midos, when to be more extreme and when to have more of a middle approach, the Mido Beinoness. I could learn different things when I'm learning Rambam. I can go through all of Shulchan Aruch and find no Musar. I can go through all of Shulchan Aruch and find no Hilchos Tshuva at all. There's no Hilchos Tshuva. Like, how do I do Tshuva? And there are no discussions, really, at least that much, about Midos anywhere in Shulchan Aruch. And Lashon Hara won't find anything. So what exactly is going on pre the Chafetz Chaim? And what's the Iker Chiddush Chaim? What's he doing when he writes a sefer about Lashon Hara? What's he doing when he writes a sefer called Avas Chesed about Ben Adam L'Chaveiro Mitzvos or Ben Adam L'Chaveiro? What's he really doing? I want to unpackage things a little bit. And to be able to just develop today just one yisod. It's a yisod which, l'da'ati, is so thought-provoking. It's found in a bunch of different svarim. And it's one that I think is worthy just to think about a little bit. Begin as follows. Who is the Chafetz Chaim? It's a bunch of volumes, four or five volumes, of svarim called Tnuos HaMusar. Tnuos HaMusar of Dov Katz is a sefer that summarizes and goes through the views of the Bali Musar. Starts with Rabbi Saul Salanter. He has long discussions with Dov Katz there on the Alter Slabarka and the Varduk. Chelek Dalid, the beginning of Chelek Dalid, Tnuos HaMusar, is dedicated to the Chafetz Chaim. And he writes as follows, and it's important to contextualize the Chafetz Chaim, the Da'ati, the way that he does. The Chafetz Chaim, it's so interesting, is almost like he's so chashuv that he's viewed often independently. We don't view the Chafetz Chaim as being part of a movement. You view the Chafetz Chaim as being this person who sort of like emerged in many ways on his own. He became like the Chafetz Chaim, and he attains the status as being like the Chafetz Chaim. And Dov Katz points out that elements of that are really true. The Chafetz Chaim built himself in many ways on his own. He became on his own the person he was. You wouldn't refer to him in any direct way of being like a Talmud of Rabbi Saul Salanter or the like. But he argues there, to the Musar, number 4 on the sheet, source number 5 on the sheet, he argues very clearly
the Chofetz Chaim is undoubtedly connected in a very intense way to the Musar movement. We saw also a lot to the fact that the Musar movement has a relationship with the Chofetz Chaim. When the Chofetz Chaim publishes a sefer on Shmiras HaLashon, so when he publishes that sefer, they're in contact beforehand and afterwards. It's a very, very, I believe so, they have a real relationship. The Chofetz Chaim throughout his life is engaged and in the Sfarim does the things that Bali Musar do. He talks about how you work on Midos and the importance of learning Musar. He does it in Mishnah Berurah in Siman Aleph. Mishnah Berurah is Aleph Yubeis. V'tzarech ha'adam likvoa lo eis lo mot sifrei Musar b'chol yom v'yom ime'avim harbe ke'agodol mechaveri marin tzuka yitzur gadol himenu. That the Mishnah Berurah writes that a person has to make sure that they're going to be learning every single day Musar. And for him also, the way that you work on Midos, the Chofetz Chaim in his life is backing the movement of the Musar movement. He brings into his yeshiva people associated with the Musar movement. He's very much connected. He's very much connected to that world. In the Musar movement themselves, if you look in source number 6 on the sheet, we saw Salanter, the way he summarizes it there, we spoke about we saw in the past, there are two primary chidushim in the Musar movement. The Chofetz Chaim takes one of them and runs with it in a very intense way. The first element of Chiddush in Rabbi Saul Salanter is the way that you're supposed to learn Musar. Musar b'hispalus. In the world of Rabbi Saul Salanter, we've spoken about this a bunch of times in the past, Musar Seder was not really done in the Beis Medrash, nor is it done the way that we learn Musar Seder. You would go into a Beis HaMusar, separate location, you would often there take a line of Chazal, or a particular pasuk, and you would go over and over and over again on just that line, saying it in a way that was supposed to emotionally work you up a little bit. The goal of Musar by Rabbi Yisrael was not about the acquisition of Yedios. Like, I finished Mesiel Shesharim, so what do I learn next? I finished Shari Tshuva, okay, so what's next? It wasn't about acquiring Yedios. It was about an intense avoda of building oneself that demanded going just over and over, b'hispalus, going over and over on that. But there was a secondary chiddush in Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. And this the author of Kelm describes. The secondary chiddush of Rabbi Yisrael was to do the following. And the author of Kelm describes how Rabbi Yisrael was megalich chidushim as a result of this, which was to look at a variety of mitzvos that people weren't taking as seriously and didn't appreciate their halachic impact. And if I want to work on my interaction with others, I have to learn all of the potentially relevant halachos to those interactions with others. To take the idea of being a good person and to be able to reveal that within that, to understand in halacha what does that mean. So as an example, if I have a roommate, the question's not just the value of being a good roommate. But if I want to be a good roommate, so what are all of the potential halachos I have to learn in order to be able to be a good roommate? And part of what Rabbi Yisrael also did was there were things that I thought maybe didn't have halachic impact or halachic, they weren't halachic shailas. And he was able to reveal that there are questions that come up when you're a roommate for someone else. So the question of, I want to get up earlier in the morning, but my alarm's going to go off and potentially wake him up. So maybe that's a halachic shaila, or maybe there are at least halachic mikoros that are going to reveal things about that question. I have shailas about so many different questions that can come up. In the context of being a roommate, and part of Rabbi Yisrael was about revealing to us, and there are questions that emerge halachically that come as a result of this. Herein lies the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim, and let's begin, Rabbi Yisrael, in Turus HaMusar, they quote a Maisa. Why did the Chofetz Chaim write the Sefer Chofetz Chaim? What was going on? I saw this morning, the Chofetz Chaim, from the Pasuk, that Mi'eis HaChofetz Chaim, who is the person that loves life. So if you speak well, if you speak appropriately, no lashon hara, you'll live a long life. Say when the Chofetz Chaim turned 70, he was very, very happy because he was fearful of a chil Hashem. Because if he's writing about Chofetz Chaim, that the way you get a long life is by speaking lashon hara, had he, Rachman al-Litzlan, been nifter at a young age, so there would have been a tremendous chil Hashem. So when he turned 70, he said, okay, Baruch Hashem, that there's no chil Hashem. When he turned 90, he made his student's mitzvah. He said, this is ready Kiddush Hashem. And at this point, I've already Mi'eis HaChofetz Chaim, so I've shown that it's like, Chofetz Chaim, this is what you do. Why is he writing the Sefer Chofetz Chaim? So Dov Katz writes a Maisa
that when Chafetz Chaim was younger, he heard a drasha of Rabbi Shaul Salanter in Vilna. And the drasha of Rabbi Shaul Salanter was all about Lashon Hara. And he had the following line, Rabbi Yisrael said, wow, wouldn't it be so important, because Lashon Hara is so chashuv, if someone could get up and write a sefer all about the real, just detailed halachas about Hilchos Lashon Hara. That a person, it's hard to know, what are you doing? What can you speak? And the Chafetz Chaim was mekabel upon himself and said, I'm going to write that sefer. He publishes the sefer anonymously. It's not about his own kabbalah. It's about spreading out the Torah to others. And the Chafetz Chaim is trying to write about that. What is the ikar avodah of the Chafetz Chaim? So Shimon Schwab, they quote in the back of Sefer Mitzvah HaMusar, Professor Benny Brown, Yemin Brown, in an article about helps this at length, as do a variety of others. One of the primary things the Chafetz Chaim did, and we're going to explain what this means, was in many ways like the halachization of Musar, which is taking ideas that people related to as being like Musar and transforming them into halachic topics. What was Hilchos Lashon Hara before the Chafetz Chaim, and what was it once he published his sefer? The Chafetz Chaim, why did Shulchan Aruch not include halachas about this? So again, it's always an interesting question, why certain things are in Shulchan Aruch, certain things not, why didn't Hilchos Tshuva? But what's really going on here? So I'll describe it to you the way that many describe it. And it's something which I think is very fascinating. The Gemara in the first parak of Masechta Sota, I'm sure many of us are familiar with this, tells us that a person is prohibited from having gaiva. A person can't be a baal gaiva. We know that for many of the Rishonim, when they count the 613 mitzvos, there's no isser of having gaiva. But for the smag, there is. Smag writes, I had a dream. It was revealed to me in the dream that I really left one out in my 613. And how could I not include the isser of having gaiva? I woke up in the morning, I opened up Gemara Sota, and I said, what was revealed to me in that dream? It's MS. And he writes in the smag, in the list of the 613, he includes an isser to have gaiva. Could any of us ever envision, the Gemara speaks about it as far as being an isser, could any of us ever envision a long sefer about the halachas of gaiva? What would that have to entail? Meaning to really go through it, like what activities are called gaiva and what activities aren't called gaiva. When you're in a base medrash on Friday night and everyone is dancing, and is it usur al silchos gaiva to be in the middle learning an achron? Is it usur al silchos gaiva to be on the side? Is it usur al silchos gaiva, maybe I have to do it to be mocha because dancing in the base medrash on Shabbos, how could it be? Is there an Indian to go outside? What are the halachas of gaiva in that kind of a case? How do I know if I'm being gaiva there? Or if I'm at a particular meal and a question comes up and someone says, you know, oh, what do you do this week in yeshiva? So how much should I be like revealing al pidin? I should tell them, by the way, I learned four blot this week. Whoa, I chazed it six times. It was amazing. Or can I say, it was a pretty good week. Al tichos gaiva, ze mutter rasser. So many of us intuitively could understand the fact that you're not going to have a sefer on Hilchos Gaiva. Why aren't you going to have a sefer of halachas about what it means to be haughty? So for two reasons. One reason is because it's almost like impossible to go through. It's because it's taloi in such a way on each individual person, in each individual context, you couldn't have Hilchos Gaiva. But for another reason also. We don't relate to Hilchos Gaiva as halachas in the same sense. Character development and the moral, we know it's chashuv, we know it's important. But would I even view it in halachic terminology? Like, would I even use the words like, by the way, it's usur to talk like that. That's a gaivatic way of talking. We would say it's wrong to speak like that. It's insensitive. It's unbecoming of a ben Torah. But would we even use the words halacha in the same way, lav dafka, but the smah quotes in 613, but it has something, and the point is as follows. There are certain things, let's go with the opposite. Could anyone ever imagine not having svarim that describe Hilchos Shabbos? Could you ever imagine just like, you know, gaiva we get, like the spirit of avoiding to be about gaiva. Could we ever envision that ever happening with Shabbos? Just connect to the day. Forget about Borer and Choresh and Zoreya and Bishol. Just like Shabbos. We understand that there can be Sfarim that speak about the spirit of Shabbos. The Ramban in his Perush al Torah, the Asei of Shabbosom, the spirit of the day. But could we ever envision like not having Hilchos Shabbos? the halachas of Shabbos are so fundamental.
Part of the question is, how do you view Lashon Hara? How do you view Lashon Hara? Do I view Lashon Hara more along the line? It's not in Shulchan Aruch, and it's in Hilchos Deos.
Because Lashon Hara is about avoiding the certain kind of speech, avoiding a certain kind of slander, not being petty, and there is an Isser, and it's wrong to do it. But we're not going to envision, like, the same way with Gaiva, all the different pratim. If I'm at a meal and someone asks this question, is it or is it not considered to be okay? Is it or is it not considered to be? And what are all... The Rambam doesn't even go through in Hilchos Deos all the exceptions in Chazal to, like, when it's okay and when it's not okay and things like that. Because the same way with Gaiva, you're not going to get into all those pratim or speak about it that way. Maybe on some level, those suggest that maybe on some level, that was Lashon Hara prior to the Chavetz Chaim. So what did the Chavetz Chaim do? And where was the godless of the Chavetz Chaim? By the way, the way that Professor Brown points out, it's an amazing Ha'ara. You don't have discussions. Where do you find discussions of Lashon Hara pre-Chavetz Chaim? Not really in Shulchan Aruch. Ram Hilchos Deos, you don't speak about Lashon Hara a lot? You don't find it. You find it in the Rif, which is unique. The Rif, he thinks, is the one who Dafka in Shabbos. The Rif brings in the Ma'amarim about Lashon Hara. The Rif seems to view it halakhically. But for many of the Rishonim like, and Achronim, where are you going to find discussions of Lashon Hara? In the Ma'aral, in the Sivas Olam, in Shari Tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah. You find discussions more often than not in Musar Svarim, not in Halacha Svarim, the Rif being an exception to that. And part of what the Chavetz Chaim did, and this is the godless of Chavetz Chaim, part of what Chavetz Chaim did, and this is part of the avod of the Musar movement, which the Chavetz Chaim did in so many of Svarim, was to take Lashon Hara and show that what you thought was maybe just like a Midas Chasidus, or just like an important idea in the world of Musar, there are halachas about this. And to construct from all of that a variety of different halachas. So what does the Chavetz Chaim do? He writes Chavetz Chaim, and he has serious footnotes on the bottom called Be'er Mayim Chaim. And when you look at what he writes in his Hakdamah, the Sefer Chavetz Chaim, we'll speak about some of the Hakdamah in a future week about Geula. But what the Chavetz Chaim does, which is amazing, is as follows. He writes, it's in the second paragraph here. V'chalel et l'akori ha'naim, u'layim tzei z'davar, shloyei nira lo bashkafa rishona, im be'etzem ha'din, kiyomar shulchumer be'alma, or rechusolashon lo tzorech, or kitzorolashon. Maybe you're even going to look at my sefer and see some of the things and say, that's not halacha, that's like a chumrah, that's a midas chasidus, it's like in a mussar's movement, people often speak about things in more emphatic ways. The most important avodah on Sukkis is this. Really? No, when I'm thinking about something in Sukkis, I use those terms. The most important avodah about Sukkis. Does that mean, you mean like halachically, like we prioritize avodahs of Sukkis, like that's more important than like the mitzvah of Dal Minim? No, it means like it's a way of communicating. But that's not true here. That's not true. So he says, that's why I wrote Be'er Mayim Chaim on the bottom of Sefer Chavetz Chaim. I go through all the footnotes. Bal Yimayo Lahachle, it's a davar lomar shkagahi. Adesher Yayin Hetev Be'er Mayim Chaim, Uvichlah HaKolim HaTzrichim La'alachazo. Ki Be'emes, Kol Se'if V'se'if, Mi Sefer Azeh, Iyanti Boharbe, Uvedib V'chaveim Gedolei Torah, V'chipati Chipas Acharpichas, Shalo Yimati V'shas Dir Lidvarenu. I had to find makoros for all of these things. I had to focus on the Rambam, but look at what I did here. If you look here, he says, "Va'yodeya achia korei safil kol davar pasha shenimtza b'fnim horesis makoru ver mayim chayim l'mani vorlein yakol shesefer zeh lo chibarti al pi midas chasidus rak al tzad hadin." That's Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim is transforming lashon hara into halachas al pi din. That's also sefer avas chesed. Avas Chesed, he's writing like a Shulchan Aruch for midos of interacting with other people, of lending people money. Most of us, I would imagine, if you're like me, if a guy says to you, oh, can I borrow us, would not view that in formal halachic terminology of mitzvahs or things like that. We would say, I want to be a good guy and lend him money. We know Gemara Ksubas Pevav, Priyas Balchov Mitzvah. We know that there are Isurim and mitzvahs that, but the Chaim was about taking these concepts and making them in many ways to be halachic. Reb Shimon Schwab was the head of the Breuer's community of the Golia, Israel in America in the last generation. Reb Shimon Schwab was the Rav of the Breuer's community. So in source number 7 on the sheet, which you didn't have, it's 4 and 27, he's Mitzvah Sabayas, he writes, he got a letter from Reb Shimon Schwab, who wrote as follows. Bichlal, kol etzem ha-ra'ayon lefapil bi'inyanim musarim,
the whole idea of like being done in Musar concepts, but ofen hilchati, in a halachic way, what the Chofetz Chaim, who can be dumani min hadvarim ha'omdim berumo shel olam. This is one of the most important things out there. We'll speak about why in a second. V'hu al pi derech ha'Chofetz Chaim, t'chus yagan aleinu, b'sfarav ha'kadoshim. One of the primary things the Chofetz Chaim did was to view it differently than how it had been done before. The reason to learn Musar is not because just, which is also true, I need to learn Musar to strengthen my Yerushalayim and I need to get Tahara there. Then he writes a Mishnah Berurah and Siman Aleph before, and that's also true. But part of what the Chofetz Chaim is arguing is that you got to learn, when you don't want to learn Musar, sometimes what you're really doing is not just not learning Musar, but you're missing out on certain halacha concepts. And there's certain dinim that are out there, Lashon Hara, those are halachas. And when you make them halachas and they have cases and details, I'm going to relate to it in a very, very different way. Now, why is this important? Or what does this do that's a little bit differently? So for the Chofetz Chaim, it does two things. And this he describes in the beginning of the Chofetz Chaim. He speaks about similar ideas in the beginning of his Hagdama to say for very, very important yisodos. Number one, we know in the Ramchal spoke that people don't take certain Musar ideas as seriously. The world of Yira aren't, people don't relate to as seriously. And we know that not only are people stam mizalzel in it, but there is opposition to the Musar movement on fundamental grounds. Musar and things like that are for people who are sick, but not for the people who are already healthy, who want to keep Torah mitzvos. Let them just keep Torah mitzvos. Why should they be, you know, doing these things? And part of what the Chofetz Chaim is arguing is as follows. Number one, these are also halachas. These are also halachas. If I don't think that there are halachas about how to be a roommate, if I don't think that there's anything halachic about how to be a guest in someone's house, so I've lost out on something. I've lost out on something. And I have to learn what you think is or often found in like Musari kind of Sfarim, but learn it through a different angle. And part of the avodah of Chofetz Chaim is to transform some of those areas and to show, and it's part of the Mesorah from Mesal Salanter, to show that those are halachic shilas also. Those are halachic shilas also. And to emphasize that, to speak about that. And if we do that, I cannot take it seriously. And the next thing is to make it doable. To make it doable. The part of what I want to do is, how do I know what's called Lashon Hara, not Lashon Hara? Before the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, what would you do? It takes someone as great as the Chofetz Chaim to be able to put it together. Sometimes, I don't know, at least for me, it's like, when you speak about the Chiddush of the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, you speak about a person who was so connected to, you know, strengthen the Jewish people, having them avoid Lashon Hara. Like, the intellectual brilliance in writing the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, it's godless on an unfathomable level. To go through, there was so little content out there, and to reveal the depths of the Sefer of Lashon Hara, what he revealed is unbelievable. Not through Chidushim even. Revealed as far as the whole sugya is a sugya. And to do it in that kind of a way is something which is something which is unbelievable. And the Chofetz Chaim's ability to do that, but to give us insight, what can I say and what can't I say? In what situations is it l'toelas? And in what situations is it not l'toelas? What does my kavana have to be? Can I speak in front of three people or not? What if he's present there or not? These are discussions that you have in poskim. And for Chofetz Chaim, you have to engage in those discussions if you want to have the capacity in any serious way of really exploring what it means as far as Lashon Hara goes. And that's part of what he reveals to us. It's an amazing way of strengthening the Musar movement. Saying, how can you not talk about these things? How can you talk about these things? You know, it's an interesting thing. Like, there's so many. I think my brother even, John for Women at some point, I don't know if he still does, gave like a series of like mitzvot ben adam lechavero. So many of those mitzvot, some of them I think were like, you know, I don't know, I think he spoke about some things I don't even know were like, but I think he was trying to be convinced that like speaking about Bishul Akam is a mitzvot adam lechavero. Like, I don't know how that works, you know, but like, but in general, the majority of mitzvot adam lechavero, like so many of them, as far as appreciating that those are mitzvos also, and those have halachos also, and it impacts the way that I interact with other people. None of that changes the fact that we're not going to have a halacha safe, at least as to my knowledge, on the halachas of being angry. Kolakoes kilo ve'vorzara, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos, person's inappropriate to get angry. We know the Gemara in Masechta's Gittin. Ein me'yiseira b'soch beso, it's maybe the, we know what it causes, that to be, you know, but we're not going to have, I don't think we're going to have situations where we're going to have halacha svarim, but like, wait, that's the mutter kind of angry or not angry? What are the gdarim for anger l'toelas, not anger l'toelas?
But part of what Chofetz Chaim did was to reveal these things in a bit of a different way. These things are really, really chashuv. And to be able to do them is something which is so critically important. Rabbi Daniel Feldman wrote a sefer on Lashon Hara. So he writes in the beginning that there were people who were opposed on some level to what Chofetz Chaim did. What Chofetz Chaim did was he was taking something which should have been about ideals and generalities, and he's focusing in like pretty pratim of halachas. But Rabbi Feldman writes that one of the things that Chofetz Chaim does do is he, number one, again, just conveys to us how chashuv it is. And here's something which is very important. The Chofetz Chaim gives us the koach to speak about some of these halachas in changing and new realities. And Feldman wrote a sefer all about halachas Lashon Hara nowadays. How does Lashon Hara play out differently in a world of social media? What's called Lashon Hara, what's not called Lashon Hara? What's called and not called Lashon Hara when, given the internet, news spreads so fast? What's called and not called Lashon Hara? Articles in Tchumen, in an important halacha journal a couple of years ago, about like, when is it okay, you know, in politics, when is it okay to say certain things, especially in Eretz Yisrael, when's it where it's a little bit more complicated because you're dealing with, many times even from Jews, what am I allowed to say, not allowed to say from a Lashon Hara perspective, what things are okay and not okay, that in many ways he gave us the koach to be able to go on. But a lot of it is revolutionary. The Chofetz Chaim has chidushim in his svarim. But the primary chiddush of the Chofetz Chaim are not the detailed innovations or a chiddush here or a chiddush there. The primary chiddush of the Chofetz Chaim, and part of the greatness of the Chofetz Chaim, was to be able to reveal to us the importance not only of Musar, but the importance of taking that which can sometimes be viewed as a Musari comment and showing that really it has halacha. And a person who's able to properly appreciate that, a person who's able to conceive that the way it is, so now we relate to things very, very differently. The goal this man is to speak about the thought of the Chofetz Chaim. A primary emphasis of his thought has to do with what he does in the world of halacha. I would just add with one additional ha'ara, which is true in the Sefer Avos Chesed, and it's true in the Sefer Chofetz Chaim when he published Meiris HaLashon. The Chofetz Chaim thinks you require a tax from two levels. The Sefer Chofetz Chaim, the halacha Lashon Hara, Meiris HaLashon is the Musar about it. And Avos Chesed also. For the Chofetz Chaim, this comes from Yisrael Salanter. If you want to improve in a particular area, I need Musar about it to be mechazik myself. I need to understand in a real specific way what does it really, really entail? And how do I make sure I'm really, really going to do it as well as possible? A person that wants to improve their connection to Shabbos has to learn not just the halachas of Shabbos, but also the Musar of Shabbos. But for the Chofetz Chaim, it's also about learning, again, the interaction between those two realms, to avoid a reality where people say, Ubnei Adam mizalzlim bahem. Not that serious at all. Not that serious at all. Or, Musar's for the people that can't really learn. Or, Lashon Hara is like, it's like a general kind of an idea. Like, no, it's not. And it requires serious and rigorous study to understand how I'm going to make through in the Sefer Chofetz Chaim. And in many ways, that's the primary contribution. It comes because, in a certain sense, he's related to being part of the Musar movement. But not everyone loves this development. They quote certain maisas of certain chassidim that weren't into this. Lashon Hara is more like, it's more like gaivin, it's more like kaas. And when you make it too halachic, you also, sometimes when you make things too halachic, you lose sight of what it's really, really about, which is why you need the musar also. It becomes just a halacha. And it's not, it also has to do with not being petty. It also has to do with being sensitive and being caring about those around us. But at least the plan this man is to speak about the thought of the Chofetz Chaim, and to do so, please God, in as effective and good a way as possible.